The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
God, we are so grateful this morning. We're thankful for who you are, for what you've done for us. And Lord, as we have declared this morning, your goodness over our lives, we pray that you would cause us to now hear your word in response to your goodness. Father, may we walk away from this place differently than we walked in because of our time spent here with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you so much for being here today. It's a great day. We're going to jump in. I don't know if you've figured this out yet or not, but there's always more steps to take. But I think that this is going to be our last week in this series. And what we've done so far in this series is we've looked at this guy called Abraham is who he becomes. And we looked at all the different places he stopped along the way to get to the point that he was the man of faith, who Hebrews talks about, he believed God and it was counted unto him into righteousness. By the way, shameless plug for Wednesday night Bible study. We're starting Hebrews this Wednesday, so if you haven't been a part of it, don't worry. You can come Wednesday night and we'll be in chapter 1 all together, and so you won't miss anything. You can start from the very beginning. Wednesday night Bible study starts at 6:30 in here. Our team kid starts at 6:15, and our student ministry starts at 6:30. So that's your personal invitation. We'd love to have you come join us for Wednesday night. But as we've looked at this different thing, today we're going to kind of finish up Abram's story a little bit. And we're going to start in chapter number 13 of Genesis, and we're going to start in verse number 5. If you've got your Bibles or you've got your notes, you can turn there. It starts out and it says this: Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they were stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose among Abram's herders and Lot's. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, Let's not have any quarreling between you and I, between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of Jordan toward Zorah. It was well watered, like a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set towards the east. The two men parted the company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, Look around you from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. All the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram went to live near the great tree of Moriah at Hebron, where he had pitched his tent and where he had built an altar to the Lord. So as we continue Abram's story, the very first thing, it doesn't really start out on a positive note, right? Here he's taking these steps of faith. He finally left Egypt because he lied in Egypt. And we looked at that last week and how that temptation for us is the same to go back to what we know and believe and trust in. And that's ourselves. But now we find that as he comes back to the land, the very first thing that happens is conflict. How many of you guys like conflict? Some of you all do. I'm not a conflict person. I was an RA for the resident assistant at a Bible college my first year. And we had demerits. And we had like all kinds of things. Like we had study hours. We had to wear a tie to class. Like it was crazy. And here I am, some 18-year-old surfer kid that's supposed to be like in charge of other people and give them demerits and conflict. And like if they did something wrong, I'm the one who's supposed to sit down and meet with them. And this is how it went every single time. Hey, Leonard, hey, that knife that you've been throwing against the wall, you can't do that. It's scaring everyone else in your room, Leonard. And so, like, I'm going to need you to not do that. Or, hey, Pat, you can't hold hands with your girlfriend, man. And like, I was the most awkward at conflict that you could even imagine. Like, it killed me. Everything in me was just awkward at conflict. And I don't really like conflict at all, even now to this day. Like, when conflict happens, like, I almost want to shy away from it. Like, I kind of want to run and hide. But what I've learned through my years is this, is that sometimes conflict is good. Sometimes conflict can have a purpose, can have a meaning. And in this situation, the conflict that we find between Abram and Lot isn't necessarily bad, but sometimes when you and I take steps of faith in our life, there's going to be conflict. It's going to happen. It's something that's kind of inevitable. And here's there's two reasons just from this passage of Scripture that I think you can take as to why conflict happens when we take steps of faith. The first is this, is that other people aren't taking the same steps of faith that you are taking. If you look, and you look at verse number 5, it says that Lot was moving with Abram, right? Now, we're going to come back to this later on, but here's the idea that I want you to get. Lot wasn't the one taking steps of faith. Abram was. Lot was following. Lot was going along. Hey, listen, wherever God calls you, Abram, I'll go too. But they weren't Lot's steps of faith. They were Abram's. So sometimes conflict happens in our life when we start to take steps of faith, when we start to move in a direction that God is calling us to move in, and other people are unwilling, or God isn't calling them to the same thing. Well, what happens? How many of you have ever heard this? The church should have blue carpet. No, the church should have red carpet. And the next thing you know, we have two more Baptist churches. Because why? Because two people have two different opinions of what they believe God is telling them. Now, I say that as a joke, but here's the idea. It's not necessarily bad. Because sometimes conflict is a way that God uses to grow us. And it comes from growth. Sometimes the fact that we're taking steps and those around us aren't is what the source of conflict. Sometimes it's because of outside influences. Look back again in the verse number 7. It tells you that there were two other people living in the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Now, why in the world, of all the things that the author has to tell us, does it have to tell us that there are these two people living there too? Because how do you think these two people, herdsmen, settled conflict? I heard a story about Jim Tom the other day where deacons would get in fights at church and they'd have to go outside and hold their jackets because they'd get in a rumble afterwards. I mean, like, it herdsmen during this time, that's what it was. If you were on my land, that meant that my sheep weren't as well fed as your sheep. My cattle weren't as well tended to as your cattle. And so it was going to come to blows. And so what happens is the outside influences that you and I allow inside to our life teach us how to handle conflict. How many of you guys know somebody who does not handle conflict well? By that I mean their first reaction is to explode with anger, to explode with rage, to sit down and pitch a fit. We've got a 2-year-old at our house right now who, bless his heart, he's learned too much how to handle conflict from his older sisters. Because my man just lays down on the floor and screams and cries, and it doesn't accomplish anything. But he's learned from outside influences how to handle conflict. And see, that's what happened here is Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen learned from outside influences how they were supposed to handle conflict. But that's not necessarily what God had intended or designed for them. See, conflict sometimes can be a good thing. When you look at this, God had blessed them so much that their possessions, that their herds had become so great that they couldn't stay together. And the idea isn't a bad thing, that's a good thing. Sometimes with growth comes conflict. It's called growing pains. It's something that's difficult we have to go through. So as you grow in your Christian life, you have to understand that there is going to be growing pains. My cautionary tale for you and my word of encouragement for you is this. Make sure your conflict comes from growth and not from your own selfish desires. We learned about that in James on Wednesday Night Bible Study, which is another plug for Wednesday Night Bible Study. But make sure that your growth comes from, or make sure that your conflict comes from growth, not from just what you want. It's a good thing when it comes from growth. But the second thing about conflict is this, is what you find is that steps of faith lead from conflict to peace. When you look at verses number 8 through 9, Abram goes to Lot and he says, listen, there shouldn't be this quarreling between us. There's a peaceful solution here. When conflict is in a step of faith and it comes from growth, there's always a peaceful solution. Our goal, our objective should be to move towards peace. Now, here's the Here's the challenging part. Sometimes that move towards peace doesn't always mean agreement. Sometimes it means separation. That's tough to handle sometimes for a lot of us, isn't it? Because we don't want to separate from things. We like things the way they are. But sometimes that process of conflict is God stirring something inside of our life, rubbing things the wrong way, rubbing things that are raw, and hitting nerves so that we have this conflict. And the best solution is to part ways. When you look here at Abram and Lot, that's the best solution was, hey, listen, there's a lot of land. There's no reason for us to live in conflict with each other. The best thing that you and I can do is part ways. Now, there's a lot of us that are living with relationships, that are living with friendships, that are living with sins, that are living with different things in our life that are causing conflict in our life. And God is telling you, hey, listen, your next step of faith is to part ways with those things. Your next step of faith is to distance yourself from this thing in your life. Now, don't hear me wrong and say, well, listen, church has conflict in it. So my goal is I'm going to distance myself from church because they're always arguing about what kind of candy they give to kids, or they're arguing about this, that, or the other. And so church is just what I'm going to distance myself from. That's not the truth, because when you're going to see later on, steps of faith also come with honoring God. Honoring God is being a part of things that God is calling you to be a part of. But I wonder what things in your life do you need to distance yourself from? As you look and you see that steps of faith lead from peace or from conflict to peace, there's something else that you've got to realize too. When we take steps of faith, we can't go back. I never realized just how much Lot is really he's the bad guy here. Like, I hate to say that, but as you look at the story of Lot, he's not really the good guy. See, when Lot chose land, what did Lot choose land that looked like? Like what?
The best.
The best, okay. But it reminded him of what? Egypt. Lot's whole desire was, listen, things were really good back in Egypt. I mean, we had food, we had water, we had herds. Yeah, we were living alive, but things were good. And Lot's desire is to go back to what he knew. Reliance on himself, reliance on what he could manage, reliance on him and his herdsmen and his cattle and his crops and those different things, not reliance on God. See, a lot of us, I think, live in this life because the problem is we've never taken steps of faith on our own. We've lived somebody else's faith in our life. See, I think the reason Lot had such a difficult time with this is because all the steps that he took from the time that he left Haran all the way till now, Lot's never taken a step of faith on his own. He's taken Abram's steps of faith. Wherever Abram's gone, Lot's gone with him. And so now, when the push comes to shove, when the decision has to be made, when it has to be Lot's, Lot says, hey, listen, I'm way better off with what I know and what I'm comfortable with. That's terrifying, because I think that's where a lot of Christians live today. There's an expression that the ancient conquistadors had when they took over the Mayan territory in Mexico. Anybody know what they did when they got there? To their ships? History tells us they burned their ships. Why? No way you can go back. Regardless of how difficult things get, regardless of how awful things are, regardless of the difficulties we face, there is no going back. See, for Lot, those steps of faith were somebody else's steps of faith. So when life got difficult, when things became hard, when there was a decision to make on his own, Lot said, hey, I kind of want to go back. For a lot of us, we've lived our parents' faith, we've lived our grandparents' faith, we've lived our cousins' faith, we've lived our uncle's faith, we've lived somebody else's faith, but it's never been your faith. And so now you have no clue what to do, because God's put this decision before you where, hey, this has to be your step of faith. You can't just do what your neighbor's doing, what your cousin's doing, what your wife's doing, what your husband's doing, what your grandma did. You can't do that. You have to take this step on your own. And a lot of us are saying, no, I just want to go back. I want to go back to what I can control, what I'm comfortable with. This whole thing of faith is too much for me. The truth is, you can't go back. Because like we learned week one, any decision you make at the crossroads is still a decision. If you decide that you're not going to take the next step of faith that God's calling you to take, then you've made the decision to stay where you are. To sit on a comfortable pew and let God's very best pass you by. Steps of faith should always lead us away from sin. I find it interesting that the person who chose comfort and familiarity is also the person who's now living among sinful people. When you read 13:13, it says, Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Lot, the person who never took steps of faith in his own life, now finds himself surrounded by evil and wicked people. Why? Because that's what happens. When you and I refuse to take steps of faith in our own life, it leads us back towards sinful thinking. And all of a sudden, when we start to think sinfully, when we start to think about ourselves and selfishly, and we start to make decisions based on us and what we can control, we start to surround ourselves with those people too, don't we? Why? Because it's a lot easier to look better. Listen, if I've got other people who are worse than me around me, what do? I feel better about myself. So as long as I can keep one person who's more sinful than me around me, I feel like I'm winning, man. And so what's funny, and that's exactly what happens to Lot. For those of you guys who know the rest of the story, we read it just not too long ago. Lot surrounded himself with these sinful people. He lives in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God is ready to destroy it. And Abram says, hey, listen, you've got to save Lot. He's one righteous person in the entire city. And so God says, okay, fine, I'll spare him. He pulls Lot out, but Lot's wife wants just a little bit more of that comfort and familiarity, doesn't she? And she looks back towards the city, and she wants to go back, and she turns to a pillar of salt. And then Lot, you think he'd learned his lesson, and you think he knows how to take steps of faith now, but he doesn't. Because then when he goes to the city that God allows him to flee to, he doesn't like it. He gets scared, which is the absence of faith in our life is fear. And Lot goes and hides in a cave with his two daughters, who end up getting him to sleep with him so that they can bear children. And those children become people who constantly test Israel's faith. See, what happens is this. Lot surrounded himself with sinful people, and the next thing you know, he was the chief sinner. Lot's story ends so sadly. I did some research this week to try and figure out how Lot died. You know the last time Lot's mentioned? Genesis 19 says that his daughters took advantage of him. They produced the Amorites and the Moabites. That's it. That's his legacy. No lasting legacy of faith. No lasting journey. No, he slept with his fathers and rested well in the land. Lot literally ends in sinful deceit. That's the end of his life. Steps of faith should always move us closer to God and away from sin. If you think that you're taking a step of faith, but it goes against God's character, God's heart, it probably isn't a step of faith, but a leap towards your own comfort. Steps of faith lead us to a place we could never imagine. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 18, God says to Abram, listen, Abram, look everywhere around you. Look all the way, every direction, east, west, north, south, every different place you can look, it's all yours. Man, for a guy who came from the crossroads of Haran with no familiarity, no security, no comfort, he finds himself being told that now, listen, everything around you is yours. It gets even better because when you look at the place that this promise comes to him, it's the place that he'd already built an altar to God. He already pitched his tents. He already was familiar with. And so now the person who gave up familiarity, security, and comfort finds himself in a familiar place. Over in the next chapter, God sends people to fight with him against his enemy. And then a man named Melchizedek comes and fights alongside Abram. And now he has surrounded himself not just with familiarity, but also with security because people are rallying around him to fight with him. And you talk about comfort. In the next chapter over, God actually makes a covenant with Abram and says, Abram, because I know you, I'm not making a covenant with you. I'm making a covenant with myself that I'm going to bless you always, that I will bless the whole earth through you. And a chapter, I think it's two chapters over from here, so that'd be like 15, God actually makes this covenant where he walks through the two pieces of burning sacrifice to show that this covenant is based on what he's going to do for Abram. What comfort is that, man? I'm a screw up. I screw up every single day. And if my relationship with God was based on me, what a world of hurt I would be in. And God says, hey, listen, your relationship with God's not going to be based on you, Abram. It's going to be based on me. And it's foreshadowing what Christ is going to do on a cross, and he's going to pay the price for your sins and for my sins, because God is going to do what you and I are never able to do on our own. So the man who left his security, his comfort, his familiarity now finds himself in the absolute best place imaginable, and that's how steps of faith work in our life. You may say, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm leaving. You don't understand how good this is. I can tell you this, that whatever God has out there in your next step is even better than you could ever imagine. The best life God has for you is waiting in that next step. Again, though, it's got to be your step. It can't be someone else's. What way did Lot go when he chose land? Anybody remember? He went to the east. God tells Abram, hey, Abram, look to the north, south, and west, but not the east, because that land's Lot's, right? He says, hey, listen, that stuff that I just gave Lot, it's not really his step of faith. He took what was easy, comfortable, and familiar to him, and so the land that he now lives in is going to be yours one day. It's got to be your step of faith. There's still more steps to come, unfortunately, though. Abram's story is not done here. If you look at verse number 18 in this chapter, it tells you that he builds another altar. It's as if Abram has finally got this idea that this is going to be an ongoing journey for him. And the more steps of faith he takes, the more he needs God more and more and more, and the more reliant and the more dependent he is on God. And so, church, there's more steps for you today. You may say, well, listen, I've taken steps. I've done this. I've done that. Great. There's still more steps to come. And then there's just two parting things I can share with you about your steps of faith. One, your steps of faith should always honor God. You go over to the next chapter, in chapter number 14, and you have this encounter with Abram and Melchizedek. Melchizedek is called a priest of the Most High God, and he comes and he fights with Abram to defeat an opposing king. And in that process, God gives them the spoils of war, and what Abram does is he takes the spoils of war and he gives a tenth to Melchizedek. Y'all ever wonder where the idea of tithing came from? It's from this story right here. We're called to give God a tenth of our finances. Why are we called to give God a tenth of our finances? Because it's a reflection of what's in our heart. It's a reflection of the idea that our whole life should be a declaration of everything I do, I want to honor God in. And the least thing I can do is give him my finances. Some of you, that may be your step of faith today. Listen, firsthand experience. I don't know if you know this or not, but pastors aren't rich folks. At least this pastor's not a rich folk. Some of them have it pretty good. They preach a different gospel, but we're not going to get into that. But, man, it's hard to give. I've been in ministry over 20 years. There was a time, my very first church, I think I made $200 every week, every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, I made $200. That was really hard to give. That was really hard to... That was a big chunk of my salary was gone. But you know what I've learned? It's a step of faith. And if I do it, it gets better. And God puts me in a better position than I ever was before. And financially, there's freedom and there's things that I never thought I could ever experience by just saying, hey, listen, you know what? My heart screams, God, that I want to honor you with my life. And so the least I can do is give you this. Steps of faith in your life should be the same way. Whether it's a tithe or it's a decision to follow Christ or it's a decision to share the gospel with somebody, whatever your next step of faith is, it should always be something that honors God. And the last thing we have to talk about this, in Genesis chapter 22, it says this, sometime later, God tested Abram and said to him, Abram, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you." Steps of faith mean a willingness to sacrifice on our part. Interesting, this starts out and it says, sometime later. There's always another step of faith to take. Regardless of where you are in your life, it seems as this pattern comes up over and over and over again in Abram's life, where he is constantly taking steps of faith. And it leads to this kind of culmination of testing of his faith, which also we talked about in James on Wednesday night Bible study. Just one more plug there for that. But there's so much in this passage, and I can't even begin to unpack it right now, but he goes back to Moriah, the very first place he built an altar and called on God's name. And when he goes back there, it's almost as if God is saying, "Hey, listen, I want you to go back to the place that you first called on me, that you first declared your faith in me, that you first declared your trust in me. And Abram, I want to see, do you still trust me? Is your faith still in me?" Hey, listen, church, if you have no clue what your next step is, let me challenge you with one thing. Go back to where it started. Go back to the very first step of faith you took, placing your faith and trust in Christ. Some of us need to be reminded of that because, again, it's important for us to remember all the things that God's done from that time until now. I forget, we were talking with somebody the other day and talking about testimonies and sharing their testimony. And I don't know how much of my testimony I've shared with you guys. It's probably bad, but I think the worst thing I did when I was saved is I destroyed my cousin's Barbie house. I was saved at 7 years old. It was pink. Me and her brother didn't like it. So we just wrecked it one day. And I remember feeling guilt and I remember feeling shame. That was my story. That's what God saved me from. Is wrecking a Barbie house. And I went through my life thinking that that wasn't dramatic enough. That wasn't a good enough testimony. Like, who hasn't destroyed a Barbie house? That's commonplace. And I started to realize, man, all the things that God saved me from. He kept me from doing things that I watched friends do. That I watched family members do. He kept me from making mistakes. He kept me on a path that honored and glorified Him. And it's not so much that what He pulled me out of, but what He kept me from ever getting into. And that's my story. And what's encouraging and exciting to me about that is when I look at the steps of faith from that very first time as a 7-year-old, where I said, "God, I destroyed a Barbie house and I'm sorry for that. And that was my sin and that was what He saved me from." And I think of all the things that He's done in my life since then to get me here. Man. Whatever's next, God, I'm doing it. Because You brought me here and You've never failed me yet. Never once has He ever failed me. Church, I have no clue what your next step is. But I pray, if you don't know, you'll go back to the faith you had at the very beginning of your walk with Christ. You'll think about everything that's happened in your life from that point until now. And it will encourage you and it will inspire you. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll say, "All right, God, whatever it is, I'll do it." Lord, we thank You for today. God, I thank You for this story in Scripture. God, I pray today that we would be people who are willing to take steps of faith in their life. God, when you look at the story and we see the contrast between Lot, who chose familiarity, who chose comfort, who chose going back, we look at how his life ended, but then we look at the legacy of faith that Abram left. God, I pray that we would have a room filled with more people who are willing to say like Abram, "Lord, whatever You need, I'll do." than we would with people who were Lot's. God, I know sometimes my words fall short, and so now I pray in the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would open our eyes to see the next step of faith that you want us to take in our lives. Lord, that through this month, through this year, God, you would remind us of the faith we placed in you at one point in time. And God, you would reveal to us the next step that you would desire for us to take, and we would, God, we'd take it. I can't say we'll cheerfully take it. I can't say necessarily we'll courageously take it. But God, I pray that through the convicting power of your Holy Spirit that you would burn in us a desire that takes that step closer towards you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.